This is Karen Lyle with Salesport Talk. Welcome today, and today we have as our guest Tim Clark, the Commodore of the California Yacht Club. Hey, Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Karen. Thanks for having me.
So where are you calling in from today?
I'm in Marina Del Rey, where the J70 Regatta was.
That's right, and you had a great race. Oh, it's so good to hear about great races right now in the pandemic. Can you tell me a little bit about the people who participated? We had several different countries participating in this race.
We certainly did, yeah. We had 10 countries, 61 teams. It was an amazing turnout considering everything that we've been through as a country, as a world. So to get these teams into the U.S. was a great achievement. And everyone had an amazing 5 days of racing, preluded by probably 4 or 5 days of training. So it was an event that was equal to a world championships. We had a lot of teams from South America and Europe as well. And the feedback around the club during the event, it was really good. Everyone had a great time. Some tough racing out there. World championship caliber races, a couple of Olympians thrown in there. So it was certainly tough out on the water. But we had a great time as a team, and as I say, everyone else did as well out there.
Well, and Tim, we also have with us in the studio Patty Mangan, and she's going to ask you the next question.
Hi, Tim. Hey, as a Commodore of PICYA up here in Northern California, I can feel for you in terms of our leadership in this particular year. And I can also feel the thrill of being able to accomplish a world-class competition.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's been tough, and you're in the same seat as I am, and you've experienced it for your club, and we didn't do any racing last year, not at all. We couldn't get out in the water. We put the safety of our club members first and foremost, so we didn't get out there, and this year we've managed to do the club racing and obviously host this major regatta, and a lot of that comes down to perseverance, by the J70 class and the club to make it happen. We stuck at it. There was many times we could have walked away, but we didn't. And that was the leadership of our club. And as I say, as the class, they wanted to make this happen. It was meant to happen last year in 2020, but we all stuck at it. And it's just obviously everyone knows it's been super tough. And to get out in the water and do the sport that we're so passionate about, I think meant a huge amount to everyone, for sure.
Yes, yes.
Well, speaking of thrashing about on the water, you were out there racing, weren't you?
Yeah, I was lucky. I wore two hats for this last week, as Commodore of the club and also as a competitor. And I don't know which one was harder, if I'm honest. Probably the competitor side. It's a tough week. What's so great about the J70 class is it has the Corinthian aspect of it, so you can compete as a Corinthian team, and you're recognized within that fleet. So we were racing against the pros, but also racing against our fellow Corinthian competitors, and that's great for the teams which have a smaller budget and maybe don't want to spend as much, and we're able to still get recognized. We fared okay. It was tough at times, but we finished in the top 10 of the Corinthian fleet, so we're happy with that. Thanks to my team for putting it all together as I was able to kind of step on and help them out throughout the week.
Tim, one of the things that I know, we hosted the Clipper race over at South Beach Yacht Club a few years back, and you have to compete to host. You have to pitch anyways, right?
Yes.
And so this particular, the World 70, J70s goes around the world. Do you know where it'll go next?
Yeah, it's heading to Monaco next year.
Oh.
Which would be an amazing place to go and compete. I know a lot of the professional teams are heading that way next year, and they'll continue their training regime. I don't know how many of the Corinthian teams can probably make it out there. It's quite an expensive place to travel
yes.
to. But the bidding process for to host the championship of this level is a big one. And we had our regatta chair, who did so much amount of work leading up to this event, starting back in 2018, really. Mm. Marilyn Honeymeyer, who did all the work with the team here at CYC. But she was the leader of it all, and she pulled it all together. And not all clubs can host a regatta of this magnitude. We have the facility, we have the assets in place where we can do this, and it's a great privilege that we were selected, and we feel like we did the best job we could, and as I say, it was great to do it. Feedback was exceptional, and we're really pleased with our final product, and hope the J70 fleet will remember us here at California Yacht Club.
Tim, you have an opportunity with that great location there in Marina del Rey, and a mix of amateur and professional racers on out there in Southern California. What was the weather like? And tell us a little bit about the experience and the winds, and you know where the sail course was.
So we raced in Santa Monica Bay, kind of just off Santa Monica Pier, Venice Pier, kind of depending on the wind direction. During the summer, Santa Monica Bay is a very good wind machine, especially in August. You rely on the heating inshore, and we get a good a small gradient breeze, which is pumped up by the thermal breeze, and we normally get great conditions. Now, of course, the week of the J70 Worlds, we had a small hiccup where it was a little lighter than we expected. We had a great first day. Second day was super light, and we weren't able to get any racing in. But then things started to pick up again, and we got some great racing in over the weekend. Saturday was probably our best day with breeze in the mid-teens, which is great. And it's nice to have a variation of wind strength over the week as well. Kind of brings the best out of everyone. If you struggle in a particular wind strength, then you're going to get found out pretty quick, which we certainly did as a team. We're a San Francisco team primarily, so with the light breeze, it was a challenge. But that's great. It's a world championship. Everyone gets the same conditions, and you do the best you can. And the top guys, well, they come out on top because they can deal with it. Peter Duncan and team did an exceptional job and came out on top of the whole fleet. But it was great. It was super, super warm. The typical LA lifestyle that you see and experience is what we managed to give our competitors. And a nice thing about this J70 fleet as well, segueing a little bit, is that a lot of teams bring their families, wives, kids. So it's exceptional to have the venue of the world in a place which not only gives you good sailing, but gives you a good place to go vacation. And here in LA, and particularly Marina del Rey, it gives that. And it's great that people can enjoy the racing. And again, the breeze doesn't really pick up till the afternoon, so it's not like we're starting at 10 a.m. in the morning. We're heading out to the race course for a 12:30 start, 3 or 4 hours in the water, and then back to the club where we did some great hosted evenings of food and beverages, and giving everyone, not only the competitors, but everyone who comes along with it, their family members, friends, coaches, and also our club members who may not be competing, but it gives, when you have 61 teams, around 400 sailors kind of walking around the club, the vibe is phenomenal, especially if we haven't had that vibe for 18 months now due to COVID. To see the club alive and pumping was fantastic, and a lot of our members took advantage of that just to be around it and enjoy it and embrace it.
And for our listeners that are just tuning in to this great vibe on Sailsport Talk, we're here on Sports Byline in San Francisco, speaking with Tim Clark, Commodore of the California Yacht Club, and I'm Karen Lyle, co-hosting with Patty Mangan. And Patty, go ahead and take the next question.
Well, I was going to say, there are 5 yacht clubs there in Marina del Rey. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah.
At least.
Is there any collaboration when it comes to all of these boats having to come into the harbor?
All right, great question, Patty, and thank you for bringing that up, because I've been amiss in not mentioning. We did certainly partner with our neighbors, Delray Yacht Club, which are just across the water from us, and they helped hugely with assets, mark set boats, volunteers to get out on the water, helping with race appreciation. So, yeah, big thanks to Delray Yacht Club. And even before, when we were planning for the 2020 event, before COVID, they were willing to host some of our boats and do all manner of things. So they really stepped up, and we appreciated it hugely. And also, when I talk about volunteers helping on the water, we have probably 50 volunteers every day out there helping on the racing, let alone the shore side of things. And it's not just our club members who are helping, but also other members from other clubs all around the marina who just want to help put the spotlight on Marina Del Rey and do a good job. So thanks to all those as well.
Well, thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk. Let me share with you a conversation I had recently with Sir Robin Knox Johnson. Among his many sailing accomplishments, he and Sir Peter Blake were inducted into the International Sailing Federation Hall of Fame for setting the record for the fastest circumnavigation in 1994. Sir Robin, you were the inaugural inductee to the International Sailing Hall of Fame. Tell us about that recognition experience.
It was the first time, it was called ISAF then, International Sailing Federation. And that was the first time they did it, and Peter Blake and I jointly were inducted, which was fair. It was, you know, nice to be recognized, really. And it means that I've got an awful lot of people around the world in sailing that I can pick up the phone to or email and chat to. You know, we talk about loads of things, but, you know, I'm talking to people in America, Australia, New Zealand, all the rest of it. And we have an understanding. We sort of respect each other, and it's great to talk to people who I think are probably ahead of the game.
After all your years of sailing on the ocean, do you ever think you know the seas and have mastered them?
All of us who go to sea, we can't afford to be arrogant. The sea will get us if we start thinking we're arrogant. The sea is always dangerous. And I think the one thing we share, those of us who cross oceans, is a respect for the sea and respect for each other who've done it. And it's a wonderful fraternity, that. And it's international. It doesn't know natural boundaries. It's something we just share between us. If you've sailed a good voyage, well, I'm interested. And, you know, you've done well to do it. And I think we have that wonderful friendship amongst ocean sailors. And long may it last.
Tell us about your Indian Ocean experience.
Yeah, I spent 5 years of my life as a commercial sailor, going from Bombay to Basra and Bombay to Mombasa. So, yeah, and I sailed across it in Suheli, my boat, after I built her in India, sailed out to Arabia, down to Mombasa, down the coast. So, yeah, I know the Indian Ocean quite well.
As founder of the Clipper Around the World race, you've trained many amateurs to undertake difficult ocean voyages. In 2020, before the race was suspended due to the coronavirus, tell us about your sailors.
This latest race, I've got 44 nationalities. So, you know, it's become very international. But the wonderful thing about it is I look at the crews as they come in from a long voyage, and particularly if you're going from China to Seattle, that's a very tough voyage across the North Pacific. And you watch them come in. I remember one guy coming up to me and saying, "That's the toughest thing I've done in my life. But now I feel I'm a proper sailor." And I thought, well, bloody good on you. Well done, because you have achieved something special. 5,000 miles across the North Pacific at this time of year. Well done. Those are the things that give me a big, big boost, frankly. Watching the people change, get more confident, become better sailors. They realize they've taken on nature in the raw, and they come away saying, I've done something special in my life. And they have.
This is Karen Lyle. Back again with Salesport Talk on Sports Byline, broadcasting to the American Forces Network in 177 countries to 100 million people, plus iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, and many more. And I'm here in the studio in San Francisco with Patty Mangan, and we have on the line the champion of the J70 World Championship, Peter Duncan. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And so you had some pretty stiff competition on this race.
Yeah, no, it was, it's a series of races, and it was very stiff competition, and it went right down to the wire, so it was very exciting.
We've had some of the others on this show, Ian Williams, and were there any moments that you had out there on the water that that you thought were just particularly exciting, tense? Do you want to tell us about?
Well, sure. So we went into the last race. I think we were, ahead of the second place boat by a couple of points. Third place boat by 6 points, and the fourth place boat by 10 points, and we did not have a particularly great start in the last race. And
so you were relatively obscure.
We were relatively obscure, that is for sure. And we got up to the top weather mark, the first weather mark, and we realized that we had a lot of problems, and we. Luckily, had a very exceptional first run, and ate up a lot of distance and got very close to the boats that we had to get by, and we did. So it was a little tense. Yes, that first run was very tense.
The winning shot taken by Sharon Green, the shot of the four of you at the end of the race, shows the. The thrill of it all. It shows how happy you guys are.
Yeah, we started, practicing. We did an event at Marina Del Rey and Cal Yacht Club back in early June, and we came out and we practiced a great deal before the event. And we were absolutely relieved and over the top with the victory.
Now, you're East Coast. How do you pull your crew together?
That's an interesting question. So I've been sailing with a bunch of different folks for a number of years. And this team, two of the guys and I have been sailing together since about 2016, 2017. So that's Willem Van Wey and Victor Diaz de Leon. They were with me in 2017. When we won our first world championship in Sardinia, and we had Judd Smith with us that year, and our fourth this year, Morgan Trubovich, he actually was acting as our coach, and we realized that our team was too light for this event, and we switched Morgan into racing with us, so it worked out well. Thank goodness.
Are you going to be competing in the other races of the series? And if so, what's the next one?
So, yeah, our kind of my next event is to do something in Newport for the New York Yacht Club international event, and. Then I'll start sailing down in Florida. I sail three different types of boats, and so my next one design stuff will be down in Florida racing Etchells, and that probably starts in December.
That is a lot of diversity.
Yeah, we sell Melges 24s as well, and it makes it fun.
Oh, yeah. There was something I was going to ask.
Well, I was going to mention that your boat's name is Relative Obscurity. So
that's why I brought that up.
That's right. And so why that name?
So I happen to be in the real estate business in New York City. And in the last turndown in the late 2000s, 2008, 2009, I put together a partnership to buy a building, which was known as Worldwide Plaza, here in New York City, a pretty big building, and the market was in the was not very, in very good shape, the stock market, the real estate market, and there was a article about our acquisition of this property in the Wall Street Journal, and they said the relatively obscure Peter Duncan acquired this thing. So that's my claim to fame.
Oh my goodness! You know, in racing, in sailing racing, there's three factors. We've got the wind, the water, and of course the crew. And in the one design, of course, you eliminate any advantages that a particular boat designs might bring to the to the table. And I think that, you know, the wind was a real big factor down in Santa Monica this past weekend. And I don't know how many sports can really come to a complete dead stop without that third partner. You know, in baseball, they'll play in the rain. Football, they'll play in the rain. But sailing is really, really counts on Mother Nature.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the conditions were tough because, you know, you're out on the Pacific Ocean. It can be quite choppy, and when the breeze is light, it's very difficult sailing. But, you know, it was everybody had to sail through the same stuff. So, you know, you just gotta face it and go after it. And luckily, you know, the third element you said is the crew. And, you know, I think it's like any team sport. It's your team that counts. And you just have to have team members who understand what they're supposed to do and work hard at doing it well, which luckily certainly our case.
You're listening to Sailsport Talk on Sports Byline. And if you happen to be in Europe somewhere, perhaps Italy, where Peter Duncan won his Worlds, then you'll be hearing us on TuneIn and all around the world. Peter, tell us a little bit about your crew. I want to hear about those members and how you chose them or anything you'd like to say.
Well, so it's a great crew. Morgan Trubovich joined us. As I said, he was coaching us, and we brought him on specifically for this event, and because we needed a little added weight, which he was able to bring to the table. And Morgan has a huge sailing background. He's done multiple America's Cups, and, you know, sails consistently throughout the year, and just a great experience and great knowledge. Willem Van Wey, he's kind of he's from California, from San Diego. Morgan Trubovich lives in Connecticut, but Willem's in actually Coronado, not San Diego. And again, huge sailing background, been sailing one design boats his entire life, and has a real affinity to the J70 class. He is actually the most winning, world-winning person ever. He's won three world championships. He won one with another team, I think in 2015. But great talent, tremendous trimmer. And then our tactician is a young fellow by the name of Victor Diaz de Leon, exceptional talent with high energy and always working hard. So it's, you know, it was a great team. I mean, you just have an old guy in the back of the boat steering, you know, it worked out okay.
What got you into sailing?
Luckily, my parents, we moved to a town in Westchester County called Rye, New York. And when they were looking at clubs to join, even though my father was a golfer, they elected to join American Yacht Club, though they had no sailing experience, just because they liked the people. And they took the sailing very well. And my mother actually ended up being, she was on four women's North American championship teams.
Wow.
And that's what we did. We just grew up, you know, our parents would let us off at the club, and we were at American Yacht Club, and we all went to the junior sailing camp there, and that was just kind of what we did.
And are you still affiliated with that yacht club or any?
I am. I was actually a former Commodore of American Yacht Club.
Oh, my goodness. That's the Commodore's
day. Spent a lot of time there, yep.
I'm Commodore with PICYA here in Northern California.
Great.
Yeah. Great. So we're all going through different times, these different leadership roles in sailing, racing, even race management, which I also do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're looking back over your history of racing, can you think of a particular location that you raced in that just absolutely thrilled you to be there?
Luckily I've been able to sail in a lot of different spots, including Australia and New Zealand. One of my favorites, of course, is Cowes, England. I mean, Cowes is all about sailing and racing sailing. I love Cowes. Sardinia was exceptional, for sure. So I would say probably those are two of my favorites, Cowes and Sardinia.
I think it's really interesting the structure of the yacht clubs. Like in Sardinia, you have His Royal Highness the Aga Khan, who's the owner of the club, but the social, the Commodore and the social network and leadership is very different, which is different than we have here in America, where we own our own clubs as members. Did you notice any difference in the way things behaved as far as the race based on that, or was the ownership kind of really in the background?
No, the ownership really was in the background. They did a great job over there. They made it very, you wouldn't have known that it was owned by one person. It was great.
So what do you think about youth sailing and bringing new people into sailing? Are any of the clubs or that you're involved in making an outreach, especially with inclusion?
Yeah, I think they are. There's, what I'm really glad to see is there's just so much, more sailing in public high schools now, which I think is a big step in the right direction. And there are a lot of, programs out there that are trying to be very inclusive. It's very important for, I think, all sports, but especially for a sport like sailing to be much broader. For sure.
I believe Seabold's Sailing Center has funded boats across the U.S. Are you aware of that program?
Yes, I have heard of it, yeah. I think that's fantastic.
If you were to give one tip for those who are coming up in the ranks to be professional sailors, and what would you say would be an important thing for them to keep in mind?
Well, listen, I think it's like in any sport, you got to have a little bit of humility. Some days are going to be better than others, and the most important thing is to constantly just keep learning. That's what we do every day that we go out sailing, because every day is new. And keep an open mind.
Thank you so much for coming, Peter Duncan. This is Karen Lyle and Patty Mangan with SailSport Talk, and you'll be listening to us next week, and we'll be talking to some new guests.
Thank you.
Thank you.